And we're going through the book of Ecclesiastes, lesson number 2. Interesting lesson. Again, this is an interesting book of the Bible. It deals with a lot of different topics. So today's lesson is about the emptiness of education. You know, that is an interesting concept to think of. The emptiness of education. Because we're gonna see some interesting things today about our country, even, and our culture. Introduction. Listen to this quote. Introduction. Man has come up with a great deal of gadgetry, right? Like, we got all these new gadgets. I mean, you know, cell phones and laptops and iPads and iPods and all these amazing gadgets that people use, that people seem to be, like, surgically attached to. You see them walking down the street. I mean, they're about to cross the busy road and they're like this, about to walk in front of a bus because they're so busy texting that they're not even looking where they're walking, right? Or when they're in the mall, you know, you see them the whole time walking through the mall like this with their phones. They're addicted, right? Well, that's our culture. Well, we have a lot of gadgets. But actually, here's the interesting thing. We think we're so sophisticated, don't we? But actually, man doesn't know any more about philosophy and wisdom than he knew 3,000 years ago. We think we're so advanced. We think we are so, you know, up the ladder here. But really, we don't know any more about life and philosophy and wisdom, if you will, than man knew 3,000 years ago. Because again, the very topics that Solomon is writing about in this book of Ecclesiastes are the same topics that people wrestle with today. So, yeah, we might have all the gadgets, we might be so advanced and have all the technology, but we're no more advanced as far as mentally is concerned, or as far as philosophy of life is concerned, than Solomon in his day was. We're dealing with the same problems, and put it this way, in the 3,000 years that have passed between Solomon's time and our time, we still haven't solved the problems that Solomon is dealing with. All these years, we're so advanced with the gadgets and the gizmos, we still haven't solved life's core problems, have we? We still have the same problems they had way back then. So this is the point. Education can be empty sometimes. We place all this stock in education, and we place all this emphasis on degrees. And again, we're going to say there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not here saying education is bad. No, but it can be misused. And it can be overemphasized to a fault. That's the point. We need to be educated. I'm not advocating ignorance. Okay, yeah, let's all just nobody study, nobody go to school, nobody read. No, I'm not advocating that. But we need to be careful with it. Because some people place all their emphasis on it as though education is the answer for life's problems. And it's not. Remember, Solomon is searching for answers to life in this book. This book of the Bible, Solomon is searching for answers to life. Trying to just figure out life. Remember the phrase under the sun in this book? Life under the sun. He's trying to make sense of life. And this passage talks about education. So number one, education alone cannot solve life's problems. Education alone, number one, cannot solve life's problems. And that's what Solomon is talking about in this passage. Education alone is not going to solve life's problems. You'll just have educated people with the same problems. That's all. But you still got the same problems. You see? It's interesting. I'm reading right now stories about missionaries. And one story just read was about a man named Henry Knott who went to Tahiti many years ago, back in the late 1700s into the 1800s. And what he dealt with there. And he realized that what those people in Tahiti needed was not civilization, not education. What they needed was the gospel. Because he said, you know, they got their problems. They had all kinds of problems in Tahiti when he first went there. I mean, you talk about problems of you know, problems with stealing and problems with just lustful living and all the things and alcohol and all the things they had there with the tribes. And he knew, though, that these people didn't need, because, yeah, they had sins, but he knew that if all he brought them was civilization, then they would just, their sins would maybe change a little bit, and it would be civilized sins, you see? See, we live in a civilized culture here. We don't live in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, right? We live in a civilized country of America, but yet sin nature is still here just as it is in Papua New Guinea. Human nature is the same. We just dress up our sins with shirts and ties, right? People make them look fancy, but it's still sin. And that's the point. Education alone doesn't solve life's problems. Look at verse 12. Here we start. We know who we're talking about. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Well, we know who that is. That's Solomon. All right. And that's letter A. Solomon, being in the position of a king, had access to whatever he wanted in life. Again, that's why he's so qualified to write this book. He had access to whatever he wanted. So when he said, I want to try everything to find out what life is really about, he had access to it. He was the king. He says, I, the preacher, was king. So he had whatever he wanted. But letter B, here's the point. Sometimes we envy people that are in those positions. Sometimes we say, oh, if I could just have what they have. Oh, you know, if I could just have their money, or if I could just have their position, if I could just have their power, or if I could have their popularity. We think that'll make us happy, but letter B, yet even in this great position, his heart was not fully satisfied. Even as the king of Israel, with all the wisdom and wealth he had, he still wasn't happy. His heart wasn't fully satisfied toward the end of his reign. Remember, he departed from God. He got involved with all the foreign women, and he started compromising, making shrines to those gods, and he was not happy. The only thing that will make a person happy is being close to God. That's it. Nothing else will make you happy in life.
He was close to God.
At the beginning.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out.
But towards the end of his life, yeah. I don't know what made him.
He still had the wisdom.
He did, but he decided to leave it on the shelf, if you will. And that's like all of us are capable of doing, right? We're all capable of doing it. Yeah. Well, right. It was all the foreign marriages that he had arranged. Brother Sable?
All through and through, I suppose we do have, we own dear, money.
Right, more problems. It's true. Yeah, that's right.
Now, toward the end of his life, he turned his back on God. Did God turn his back on Solomon?
You know, Solomon, here's what happened with Solomon, is when he departed from God, then, you know, not that necessarily God ended Solomon's reign right away, but it was evident more so in his, after he died. The kingdom got ripped in half after Solomon died. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, Solomon was he knew the Lord. He was a saved man, but he's an example of somebody that got distracted and off the road. I believe towards the end of his life, he probably got his heart right with God. All right, but he went through a lot of struggles too. And after he died, his son, and it was the kingdom was torn between Solomon's son and another man, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and the kingdom was split right in half. So, you know, maybe had Solomon done right all his life, maybe that wouldn't have happened right away. You see, so sometimes, you know, our sins and our decisions affect the next generation. And that's sad. So here's a man who had everything but was not fully satisfied. And that's letter C. It is never position or power which brings satisfaction to a soul. Some of the emptiest people in the world are those who are in positions of power and position and all the wealth. Some of those people are the emptiest people. And that's why they try to fill that empty void with all these things. And they try to make themselves happy, but they're not. So that's Solomon. Now verse 13. Here's what he says. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. He says, I wanted to find out all about life, so I chose the pathway of wisdom and education. I tried that road. Maybe I'll be happy if I just learn all I can all that I learned. Right? If I pursue this education, maybe that'll make me happy. I'll find out the answers. You know, maybe if I get all these degrees, that'll solve my problem. So letter D, Solomon's first great pursuit in this book was that of an education. Again, education is not a bad thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think anybody that can, should pursue an education. And college is not for everybody, but if there is the opportunity to go, I think it's a great idea. But, again, if that's where you're placing all your stock, and you think that that's going to make you happy, like if you're an unhappy person right now, and you think, well, I'm going to go to college, and that's going to make me happy. Well, you're mistaken. It's not going to make you happy. You can't, you know, don't seek happiness in education. He tried it. And letter E, we live in a culture which places great emphasis on one's education. Great emphasis. That's all that a lot of people care about these days. Where did you go to college? Where did you go to school? What degrees do you have? You know, I mean, you apply for a job, and this, I mean, that's all they care about. We live in a land that places great emphasis on education. Again, education is not a bad thing, but that's not the only qualification for working a job. But some places, they make that the one big deal. Again, I think of my father-in-law, a man who did not go to college. And yet he's got a job being a store director in Fort Drum, New York, working for the military. And he's the one that's sent to fix problems in other stores, you know, managerial position. He didn't go to college and get a managerial degree or this and that and the other, you see. So then you have those who have all the degrees and can't do the job. You see the problem? So, you know, we live in a culture that places great emphasis on education as though that's the only important thing. It's not the only important thing. Okay? It's not. It helps, and it's a good thing to have, but it's not the only important thing. Letter F. Education is a wonderful privilege, but it is not an end in and of itself. It's not the end. Oh, well, I got my degree, so where's my office? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, you show up somewhere with a diploma, a college diploma. Okay, give me the keys to the car, give me the office, give me my job. That's not how it works. Okay? And that's what they're beginning to discover is now all of a sudden there's shortage of jobs and a lot of college graduates are having a harder time finding a job. So it's not an automatic window. We need the Lord's blessing still, Maria. Yes, we're going to get to that. Oh yeah, that's a good point. You're on the right road. You got it. Let's look at a verse, just like Maria's talking about. Look at Romans 1:22. Now here is the other side of the coin. Education, though a good thing, can also be a bad thing. How can education be a bad thing? Well, what kind of education is being given? Right? What kind of education is a person receiving? Because unfortunately, you talk about universities today and secular colleges, what are they teaching? They're teaching things that go against Bible teaching. You know, universities that now, these Ivy League schools of today, Princeton, for example, right here in our own state, Princeton used to be a college, where ministers went to prepare for the ministry. You go ahead there now and try to get a Bible degree. I want to know what kind of Bible teaching they give in Princeton now. You want to hear what kind of, you know, they're going to give you all kinds of outlandish things because these schools no longer stand on the Word of God. Okay? Look at Romans 1:22. Here's the curse of education. Let's have somebody read Romans 1:22. See? All these people with this great education. Now, Romans 1, we don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but you read it on your own time, maybe this afternoon. Romans chapter 1 is a chapter that talks about people who got away from believing in creation. People who got away from believing in the Creator and began to believe in evolution. They began to believe false teachings. So here's all these people with these great degrees, these PhDs in geology and science and all these things and physics. And what do they believe? They believe that all this that we see in the universe came out as a result of a Big Bang. That's what the Bible means. They profess themselves to be wise, but they're really becoming fools. Their education is actually not making them smarter, it's making them dumber. That's one of the ironies of life. They spend all these years pursuing a doctorate, for example, you know, 4 years to get a bachelor's degree, and then another 2 years maybe to get a master's degree, and then maybe another 2 or 3 or 4 more to get a doctorate degree. So by when it's all said and done, these people have 8 or more years of college, and what do they believe? They believe that everything came as a result of a big bang. God says, you're professing yourselves to be wise, but you're really fools. What a foolish, foolish thing to believe. But yet these are the educated people. How does that work? You see, that's the curse of education. That's the curse. And letter G, education, Solomon calls education, he properly describes it as a sore travail. If you need to know travail, that's in verse number 13 of Ecclesiastes 1. This sore travail, it means work, labor. That's one truth about education. It's not easy. A lot of studying, tests, and papers to type and all that. And it's not an easy road. It's a sore travail. Some of you can relate with that. But here's the point, letter H. Here is the point. This is, as a Christian, how we ought to pursue it. Because, again, Christians should pursue education as much as they can. It's a wonderful thing. Because here's the blessing. Yeah, there's those educated PhD professors who believe in evolution, but thankfully there's also educated PhD professors who are also creationists. And they're out there, and they're battling against, you know, they have debates, and they write books to counteract what's the evolution that's being promoted. Thankfully, we do have the Christian doctorates out there who are combating against these other college professors. So we need them, and it's a good thing. So here's the point, letter H. All learning needs to be done for the glory of God. If we do it for God's glory, then it's a good thing. If we do it just to make ourselves look great, well, I now have a degree, so you better respect me. If we do it for that reason, then that's just pride. And that's not the reason we should get an education. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, a lot of my friends, guys I graduated with, were staying for their master's degree. And they were asking me, well, are you going to stay? You know, and I said, no, I'm getting married. I'm getting out of here. I'm not sticking around here anymore. But a lot of them, you know, if they didn't have a fiance yet or whatever, that's fine. But a lot of them were going. And the other side of the coin for me was, well, why do I want to, you know, my question was the motive behind it. What's my motive for spending another 2 years in a seminary? For what? Just so I can say I have a master's degree? Just so I can say I have, what's the motive behind the degree? Some people just do it because they want to have the letters after their name. You know, you see they write a book, you know, Dr. So-and-so, comma, PhD, or comma, THD, whatever, all the different degrees. And if that's the only reason you want a degree, well, then that's just pride. That's the pride of life, 1 John talks about. All right? The pride of life. Don't get an education just to puff yourself up. Just so you can put a diploma on your wall and say, look what I have done. Do it for the glory of God. Say, you know what, I want this education so I can better serve the Lord. Then it's a good reason. If you feel it's going to help you better serve the Lord or help you better provide for your family or help you do something better for the glory of God, then it's a good thing. Then it's a good thing. Letter I, there's no blank, but here's a good quote. Because look at verse 14. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, there's our key word, and vexation of spirit, verse 14. He said, I tried this all, and I came up empty. So letter I, he became highly knowledgeable in the sciences, philosophy, history, the fine arts, the social sciences, literature, religion, psychology, ethics, languages, and other fields of human learning. I mean, this man was educated. But an alphabet of degrees after his name and a room papered with diplomas didn't give him what he was seeking. It still didn't make him happy. And that's the point. It's not going to satisfy your heart if that's what you're trying to find. If you're looking for satisfaction, don't look for it in education. You'll come up empty.
Well, Solomon, one of his very first proverbs was, he that doesn't believe in God is a fool.
Right, we're going to read that verse actually. That's in one of the Psalms, and that's also in Proverbs. Absolutely, that's our next point. So it's so important that our education is done for the glory of God and that it's done under the Bible, that we get a biblical education. That's why I strongly recommend for teenagers, you know, the teens in our church, I strongly recommend that they at least go 1 year to a Christian college before they go on to wherever else. Start off with a Christian college because it gives you that biblical foundation. Because again, you go to a secular college and they're going to be pounding you with evolution and humanism and all these other bad philosophies that don't go align with the Bible.
My son dropped out of one of his classes in college because he told the professor about that.
Absolutely. That's good. And that's,
he dropped out of the class.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that's like Christian college, at least for 1 year. You know, go to a Christian college and get that Bible foundation and you'll be that much more prepared for when you do go to the secular college.
Did I read somewhere recently where people, there's some scientists now that are actually disproving this creation thing?
Well, there's no way to disprove it. So if they say that, it's a
evolution?
Yeah, either way. See, evolution and creation, it's one of those, you know what they are? They're both faiths. They both require faith. So there's no scientific experiment that could be done to disprove, you know, creation or to disprove evolution. But here's the point. You have to go by the laws of science. And the laws of science teach that you don't get something from nothing, all right, like the Big Bang. And the laws of science also teach, these are laws of science, laws of science also teach that from chaos, you don't get order. That's what the Big Bang Theory states. The Big Bang Theory states that it was chaotic. What was it? It was an explosion. What's an explosion? Well, that's chaos, right? I mean, when something blows up, the end result is what? Destruction. Well, see, this is where they twist it. And they say, well, there was an explosion in outer space eons ago, and from that came the solar system. Well, that's contrary to a law of science. And that's why evolution is unscientific. Evolution is not scientifically sound. That's the problem with it. Yes? Sure. And that's a law. Cause and effect. Yeah. If we, you know, anything in life, you see something, the question is, well, where did it come from? And again, you know, the million-dollar question to ask the evolutionist is, okay, fine. You believe the Big Bang came with the colliding of things in outer space. Then the next question is, well, where did that stuff come from? And they don't have an answer. You see, we believe the Bible's account, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right? Yes, sir. Yeah, there's a lot of, you got to do a lot of research on that. There's a lot of problems with it. They've never found everything in the exact order that they say. They always have to twist, and they're always changing their theories. Again, years ago, they found a tooth, and there was big articles that were coming out. This is Neanderthal man's tooth, and he's the missing link, and blah, blah, blah. And then they run tests later and find out it was just a pig's tooth. And they build all these big theories and stories, and then they find out later, and the whole thing crumbles. They're always changing their story.
Just like we say, they found a person,
right? And this, I mean, we could talk about this for so long. We could do an 8-week series on just creation and evolution. You know, again, their theory is, you know, man evolved from apes. Well, then the next question is, why are there still apes here? See, if the theory of evolution is the survival of the fittest, these species are dying off and the new ones are taking over, then why are the apes still here if we've evolved from them? They shouldn't be here. They should be extinct. They should be an inferior species, but they're not. They're doing quite well. They're alive and well, those monkeys, and they take care of themselves quite well all these years. They're not going extinct. And there's many other things. Again, they talk about transitional forms. You know, there was the murky waters, and the one cell turned into two, and the two cells turned into four, and the four turned into eight, and then before you know it, it was like a fish. And then, well, one day the fish decided to jump out of the water, and it got legs, and then it decided to fly, and it got wings. And in order for those things to happen, there has to be transitional forms, and that's something they've never found. Now, they may have found fossils, and they try to date them and stuff, like Guido said, and they have those things. They do not have any transitional forms where they find the fish bird. You know, this is the, you know, this is the half fish, half bird. How would that thing even survive? How would that thing even survive is my question. It would never live. It would never survive. So this is, again, the utter foolishness of it, all right? Yes, sir. And then we'll move on.
Just go back again to Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve,
yes,
He didn't create them as little babies.
Right.
They were already
adults.
In their 20s.
Yeah.
He created the earth the same way.
And it may have had the appearance of age when He created. Exactly.
And
good point. Good point.
That's where they get the 50 billion years.
Exactly. And even that whole carbon dating thing, you could read books about that. Again, it's an amazing study and interesting. Now, letter J. This is what we're talking about. Letter J. Sadly so, but some of the most educated men in the world are fools in God's eyes. Letter J. Some of the most educated people in the world are fools in God's eyes. We don't have to turn there, but Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God."
Amen.
So when somebody says, "No, there's no God," evolution, whatever, that person in God's eyes is a fool. Yes, Juanita. Exactly. You know, good old-fashioned common sense. And just, it takes, literally, it takes less faith to believe in creation than it does to believe in evolution. You got to have some big faith to believe in evolution, because there's a whole lot of holes in that theory. So, sadly so, but some of the most educated men in the world are fools. Letter K, verse 15. Let's look at verse 15. This is where we get our Roman numeral 1. He says, "That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting or lacking cannot be numbered." What he's saying, again, is letter K. Certain things in life cannot be corrected with education. There's just certain things in life. You can get all the education you want in the world, you're still not going to be able to solve certain problems. For example, we're very advanced, aren't we? Oh, sure, we know about geology, seismology, and we have all these interesting things about earthquakes. Can we predict them? No. We don't know when they're going to happen. They don't even know exactly why they happen. They have a theory that it's pressure under the earth, and the pressure finally gives way, and then they slam against each other those plates that are underneath the ground, but they don't really, really, really know. We got microscopes. We can see cells, and we can see protozoa and bacteria and all these wonderful one-celled organisms. But we can't see atoms, the things that make up everything in existence, and we don't even know what atoms really look like. They got theories. You know, I teach it to my 7th and 8th graders every year about protons and neutrons and electrons and all that stuff, but they don't really know what they look like. My students raise their hand and say, "Have they ever seen them?" No. Well, how do they know it looks like this? They don't. It's just a theory. A lot of theories still that we just don't know. A lot of things we still don't know. And here we are, 2010, all this great technology, and there's still a lot of things we just don't know. But there's no cure for the common cold. Did you know that?
Right.
Wow. I mean, we could do open heart surgery, but we don't have a cure for the common cold. There's no cure for cancer yet. We know all about storms, don't we? I mean, man, we know when we see them when they're tropical depressions, and then they become Category 1, Category 2, and all this. Guess what, though? We can't stop them. There ain't nothing we can do about it. We can watch them. There ain't nothing we can do to stop it. See, we may be smart in some areas, but we're still helpless in so many ways. Okay? We can see lightning and all this and that, but there's nothing we can do to stop that. Or even all the, they say the power that lightning contains is unimaginable. Like, one lightning strike is equal to multiple atomic bombs. That's how powerful lightning is. We can't harness it. Imagine if we can grab a hold of that power. We'd be set. We wouldn't need oil anymore. But we don't know how. There's no way that we can ever do it. Because there's certain things, and I believe it's just certain things that God said, "I'm not going to let you find it out." God will always be God, and He's always going to know it all. And He's not going to let us figure everything out. There's certain things I believe God just puts His hand down and says, "That's as far as you go." There's certain things you're just never going to figure out. Emilio? Yeah, it would probably be used for bad things. Yeah, you're right.
Just this book of Job, you read everything, just the word.
Yes. Nobody could pierce Leviathan, and those are things we don't know about. Where are those guys? The Bible talks about these. huge creatures, and you know, many people think that they were the old dinosaurs, the brontosaurus and stuff. It could be, but we don't know all the answers. See, there's a lot of things we just don't know. And there's certain things we have to be content with not knowing. For example, even the problems of life, they think education is the answer. For example, you know, unfortunately, inner cities have a lot of problems, don't they? Right? Inner cities have a lot of problems. So what does the government think the answer is? Well, we'll just pour more money into the schools. Right? We'll give this school another $1 million and that's going to help these kids. Does it really, though? Because if their home life is a wreck and they're living on the streets all night long, is pouring more money into a school system going to solve the problems of inner city youth? Again, it can, you know, there's good things that can be done for them, but, you know, what do they really need? They need the gospel. You know, they need a church to knock on their door and say, you know, we'll pick you up for church, or somebody to come along and say, hey, come to church with me. That's what they need. They don't, you know, the answer is not education. The answer is the Bible. So there's certain things in life, Solomon says in verse 15, certain crooked things that just can't be straightened out by education. So that's number one. Number two, education alone cannot bring peace. You think it's going to make you happy, but it really won't. Verse 16, he says, I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Solomon says, yeah, I learned a whole lot, more than any predecessors. I learned more than anybody that came before me. I really studied. So what happened to Solomon? Letter A. Solomon became proud after obtaining such a great education. He became proud. He said, look at me. And that's the danger of education. Then all of a sudden, you know, the old head begins to swell. Because, oh, well, after all, I got this degree, and I'm so-and-so, and if you get an inflated self-opinion. That's one danger of education. Be careful. 1 Corinthians 8:1, I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 8:1, the Bible says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but here's the key words. Knowledge puffeth up. But charity, meaning love, edifieth. You see, knowledge has a way of puffing people up. They think they're big shots, you know, like these college professors. And like Maria said, it's harder to witness to those people because they think they know it all. And you try to talk to them about the Bible, and it's as though, oh, well, that's like inferior knowledge to me, they feel. No, the Bible is the highest knowledge anybody could ever learn. There's nothing inferior intellectually about the Bible. The Bible is way up there. The Bible is the supreme knowledge. Okay? And you'll never exhaust it. You'll never exhaust it. So, be careful. Letter B. It can inflate an individual like a balloon if he feels that he is a little smarter or better educated than those around him. The balloon. You know, the ego swells because, well, after all, I'm Dr. So-and-so. You better listen to me. Listen, I've heard somebody say, and I agree with it, that when it comes to matters of life, maybe you have a problem in life and you need some advice, you're better off going to the farmer who has an 8th grade or 7th grade education, but who reads his Bible every morning and prays every day, than to go to somebody who has all these college degrees and doesn't know a verse from this Bible. You're better off going to the 8th grade farmer guy, the guy who has no formal education, but he knows God's Word, than to go to the guy who's got an office filled with diplomas, but he doesn't know one verse from the Bible. You're better off going to the farmer. He'll give you better advice than the psychologist will. Because the Bible is what gives us wisdom. You see, knowing the Bible. Yes?
The prehistoric animals, they got their bones. It's true. But yes. God talks about them in Job.
Yes, that's what Brother Bob mentioned.
He says,
that's right.
They were the land of the giants.
Yeah, there were.
What do you mean, man?
Yeah, and we don't have all the answers, but we got to just trust God's Word. That's right. Now, letter C. Here's a danger for us Christians. Letter C. Some Christians only have all the head knowledge from the Bible. Oh, they know. Now, here's the other danger. Just knowing the Bible is not enough either. Oh, they got all the head knowledge. They could quote verses and they can do this and that, but how's their life? That's the danger. Don't just get head knowledge from the Bible because letter D, knowledge of God's Word is not all that is required of us. It's not the only thing that is required. There's a lot more that God expects from us as Christians. Now, yes, know the Bible. I mean, there's no underemphasizing that. We need to know the Bible, but that's not it. These verses here, we don't have time to look at them, but these verses, like James 1:22 that's listed there, says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers also. So it's not just enough to know the Bible verse, you have to do it. Jesus said in John 13, he talks about how happy are ye if ye do these things. You got to apply it. And then John 13 also, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by your love one for another. By applying the Bible verses, by living it out. Not just knowing it, but doing it. So you need that. Now letter E, Solomon researched both sides of the spectrum in life. Because verse 17 and 18, he says, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. He said, I searched both sides of the spectrum. I searched the wisdom and the good knowledge, but I also searched and researched madness and folly. Things that aren't good. Now, here's the thing about this. So he researched both sides. Letter F. There are certain things in life that we are better off not knowing about. Oh, don't get this idea that you need to know everything about everything. Because that's not a good philosophy of life. There's certain things we're better off not knowing about. Listen to what God said in Deuteronomy 12:30. He told this to the nation of Israel when they came into their land. Deuteronomy 12:30. He says, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Don't even research it. You know why? Because it's wicked and corrupt. Why do you want to fill your mind with knowledge of evil things?
My son played with a little boy down the block that was their Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
Mother used to come and I said, could I look at your...
Yeah.
I opened it up on the table next to my Bible and there were so many things that I got scared and
confusion.
Closed it up because I said...
It's confusion.
I don't even want to know.
No. You know, there's certain things we're better off not knowing about. The Bible says, be simple concerning evil. In other words, sometimes being naive about certain things is not always a bad thing. Right? Certain things we're just better off not knowing about. Why do we need to research the corrupt, wicked practices of certain people? Stay away from it. Letter G. Knowledge of evil can corrupt your mind. Beware. Fill your mind with good knowledge. Knowledge of the Bible. Fill your mind with this book. All right? Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, for example, there's certain things where, you know, maybe a teenager starts getting interested in certain things. They hear their friends talking about maybe witchcraft and this and that, and they think, oh, wow, I want to find out more about that. And they start researching, for example, a topic like witchcraft, and before you know it, Satan's getting his grip on that person through their researching. They're trying to maybe they try to justify it by, well, I just want to know more about it. Why do we need to know about it? There's certain evil we just need to stay away from. Don't get all caught up in researching witchcraft and demonology and all this and that. Hey, be simple concerning that stuff. You know what God's Word teaches. You know it's wrong, and that's enough. Stay away from it. And, you know, think about letter H. Think about this. It was knowledge that destroyed the innocence of the garden, wasn't it? Remember what that tree was called? That tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Prior to Adam and Eve eating that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were in innocence. They were free from the knowledge of evil. But once they ate of that tree, their minds were corrupted. Because now they knew, experientially, they knew about evil. And there's certain things that God says you're better off not knowing about. Stay away from it. So the conclusion, man can never learn the really important thing just by education. He cannot know God by wisdom and philosophy. His knowledge of God comes only through revelation, meaning through this book. That's the only way you can ever know God. You cannot take natural man and give him an education, expecting that education to solve the problems of his life. Philosophy and psychology cannot change human nature. So the point is of this lesson is let your education be for the glory of God and let it be one that lines up with the Bible. Let it be a biblical education and you'll be blessed for it, all right? So letter H.
He said,
innocence. Their innocence was destroyed because now they knew about evil in a too close of a way. They knew it by experience, and God doesn't want us to know it that way. So let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll prepare for the morning service.